Shalom and welcome to Beyond the Mountain, looking into the spiritual realities of this world and embracing healing for the broken heart of Ephraim. Welcome to a Passover edition of Beyond the Mountain, and I'm here with my co-host Shlomo. I'm Stefania Pappas, and you know I'm a Solomon O. Lopez, and we are going to be talking about Passover, and I'm telling you, this really relates to a biblical understanding of Passover. I mean, when we look at people were shut in their home, they had to put that blood on the doorpost. And now, what are we at today? Well, we have Yeshua's blood, we know that, on the doorpost of our hearts. And now, but we're shut in our home, and there's a plague out there. Wow. I mean, is this not the time to do Passover? And we're actually probably going to even share with our listeners, if you haven't done one, we'll give you a little guidelines, just how you can do a simple one and just be obedient. And maybe you're going to find out just how much that what we're doing today compared to the one some 4,000 years ago, approximately, and how there's such a relationship between that story and what we have going on today.
Agreed. Shalom, Stefania. Shalom, everyone out there. I wanted to just provide an encouragement. In the last podcast, we talked a lot about the generational curses and then also the counterstrike of looking at what the Father does for us and how He provides for us. And I'd like to open with Psalm 103. About 5 years ago, I was going through significant trials, and somebody mentioned to read Psalm 103, the entire chapter, out loud. Really let it take root. There's some very powerful ideas in here, so I'll start off. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Jehovah executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, as a father pities his children, so Jehovah pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. In its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of Jehovah is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. Jehovah has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless Jehovah, you, His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless Jehovah, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless Jehovah, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless Jehovah, O my soul.
Amen. That's a wonderful declaration. I believe we should be uttering this frequently. in our homes. It highlights a lot of really important promises we have on who he is and what he's doing. And as we move forward and we look at how he is moving in our lives, what's going on in the world around us, he is still ruling and reigning. It's not COVID-19. It's not the fear that's placed on people or all the precautions we have to take now. From the time we recorded episode 8, since then, here we are a few weeks after, and it seems like the world's been turned upside down. And as we talk about these subjects on this podcast, I really want to make sure that Psalm 103 can resonate with people in many ways, not just it's just a something to recite, but it's something of a roadmap to live out. Are we forgetting his benefits during this time? Are we looking at, just like you mentioned, Passover being a time where we are having to keep this in our homes and the plague is literally outside of our doors? And looking into what is it going to take for us to really walk out this psalm in particular? You know, what is it going to take, and how can we walk out this psalm during this time?
Yes, definitely. And it's really quite a real living situation that he's really put us in right now. And he's definitely has us in a position where, you know, he is the number one focus in our thoughts. We see people now that are beginning to, those who are taking really what's going on out there seriously are starting to realize, wow, I need to spend more time with him now. I need to spend more time praying. I need to spend more time praising him. And people are taking that seriously and beginning to do that. And that's what we would really encourage anybody to do. And it was kind of interesting. I was listening to a recent video cast called this, that we're going through right now, a shelter in grace instead of a shelter in place. And I really appreciated that, because really that's what we're looking for. And if you look at the actually real understanding of what grace is, it's strength. It's the strength to carry on. And how many are being plunged into despair out there? But you don't need to go there. You can see that he will give you the strength to carry on. And so we can shelter in grace. And I really appreciated that. And yeah, and we see the impacts that this is happening, having on Israel right now. And we really, we just got a report from friends of ours. This is in Israel. It must be said, there is a group of people, mainly among the ultra-Orthodox, who by the orders of their very authoritative leaders have been trying to avoid this very thing, as they have been defying the order to keep to themselves and maintain that it is a must to pray together in synagogues and study together in yeshivas. As a result, now folks out there don't know what a yeshiva is. These are Jewish schools where they're learning the Talmud, which is the commentaries by the rabbis. And so as a result, the rate of the infection in their communities is colossal, with wide implications for society at large, not to mention their own severe economic difficulties at this time. Here in Israel, the state is starting to take stringent measures in order to curb an impending disaster, but it may be a bit too late. Let us be very careful not to harbor prejudice toward these people and their leadership, but instead to pray that the eyes of many of them will be open to the fact that they are victims of religion and man-made rules, which many times are at odds with Jehovah's will and word. So Abba in wrath and judgment, remember mercy. And if anybody knows the ultra-Orthodox, both you and I are very familiar with the ultra-Orthodox. We've been to Israel. You'll see them there. And they have had a terrible impact on the society over there. But again, you know, let's remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, the people themselves, the flesh and blood people, we want to see mercy taking place. And let's just pray a prayer of that these demonic entities, these religious entities, would sweep through that camp right over there. And one of the areas that they're really concerned about is called Bnei Brak, which is the community not far from Tel Aviv, as I understand. And I really think that that is really the prayer that somehow they will be enlightened to the demonic forces that are at work, and that we can start doing getting in our prayer closets and binding some spirits over that community.
Agreed. And there's a lot that we can do to raise awareness to how damaging it is when leadership decides to take matters in their own hands. It's happening here in our own backyard. In national news, you know, a pastor in Florida was arrested for continuing to have large public gatherings. And, you know, so we see that it's going to come to that. It's going to put things on display. And on one hand, I can see where those who are religious, who would like to have this nonconformity, if you will, on display. And is it really necessary to make it a spectacle? Is it really necessary? And what's driving it? As we've talked at length about different principalities and things, but just like the Psalm 103, going back to that, the nature of Jehovah, it says he is slow to anger. And you would have to think that is anger and hardness of heart playing into this. You tell me I can't practice my religion. I'll show you. Is there's some sort of spirit of bitterness that's manifesting. Yeah. And we know that anger has lots to do with bitterness and how it manifests. And then there's already a growing resentment towards world leadership, towards local authorities. So this nonconformity is nothing new. It's now manifesting in a different way. There's lots of parallels to some of the, perhaps it seems almost military-like, that we're under shelter in place. Shelter and grace is much better. And now we have to see the ramifications of that. What does it do now to people who are in a place of having a economic impact? For those who are out of jobs right now, who are not in a place where they can be living the ordinary daily lives. And so there are those who can respond to this and seek the Father, or they can react to this and manifest works of the flesh, essentially, because that's really all it is. Is it our brother Judah, ultra-Orthodox Judah, whatever sect it is, it's just a manifestation of that deep-rooted, deep inside. But if the nature of our Heavenly Father, Jehovah, says he is slow to anger, yes, he is merciful, is it possible to be merciful, yes, and to bound in mercy for those who are not as strong in their health? That's the whole point of this. It's not necessarily if someone is perfectly healthy and they get COVID-19, okay, they can get over it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is. However, you don't know who you may infect that may not be so strong, whose faith, their faith may not be that strong to endure something like this. That no, a ventilator won't help them. And you've seen people who all of a sudden, they're no longer on this earth shortly after they get infected. And so that's, you would see how dangerous this dwelling in anger is, that it drives the religious to have a hardness of heart.
Yeah.
Just like the theme for Passover, it's a similar spirit. And I see a parallel with Pharaoh. I see a parallel in the first century with the Pharisees and with the Romans. And it's very much a systemic defiance towards the Almighty. And we have to operate like Moses and Aaron, like Yeshua and the disciples. let my people go. And so the prayer really should be, aside from them, maybe those who are defiant right now and they want to have the religious gatherings and they want to get in the same room and continue business as usual, that perhaps a prayer that we can intercede is for them to be freed from this long-rooted, deep-rooted bitterness that's been there. And that there's a hope. There's a hope that even the religious who study the book, who could tell you all the details of things, that somehow it's penetrated their own mind, will, emotions, and memory, and their soul. So we're talking about, bless Yehovah, oh my soul. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I felt compelled to share the psalm, because right now we are experiencing some really severe damage in the area of our mind, will, emotions, and memory of our soul. It's taking its toll on people in their homes. It's taking its toll on those. And so like a little bit what's going on with the impact, I'd like for you to share what's going on in Georgia. Here in Texas, most counties have gone to a shelter in place or stay at home order. School has been shut down until May the 4th. You know, we're looking at, well, how is this even possible? How is this going on? We look at the nation right now, I guess worldwide at this point, at the time of this podcast, it's April 4th, you know, 1.1 million have been infected. I have to go back and look at how many have perished, have died from this.
But
the numbers are just, they're astronomical. And we're looking at now, some of the epicenter of this COVID-19 is New York City. It is such a tragedy to look at what's happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on in Georgia over there.
Yeah. Well, here it's up till April 13th. Of course, it was a statewide order, shelter in place. So that means, a whole lot of businesses are going down. And here, you know, people can be in fear, and they can be in a place where the fear is fear of tomorrow. And that's where you're losing your faith, that you don't believe that the Father knows exactly what's going on here. And didn't Yeshua say that, look at the bird of the air and look at how your Heavenly Father feeds them? Look at the flower in the field and how the Father just clothes them just amazing clothing. And how much more, Yeshua says, how much more your Heavenly Father cares for you. So don't get into that place of actually being fearing tomorrow, because just as Yeshua said, today has much enough troubles of its own. And take a day at a time and just trust Him that He's going to actually carry you through, because really, we're all in this together. Not a single one of us are in a different place. We're all going through this right now. And if there's a person right now that are getting to the point of despondent, and you happen to, maybe you're just all tuning into this podcast. Maybe you somehow just stumbled upon it, and it's not just stumbling. The Holy Spirit led you there. And you're listening to this right now. Don't despair to the point of saying, I can't take it anymore. You have a Heavenly Father that loves you and will care for you in the midst of all of this. And that's my message to those out there. But locally, so we do have the shelter in place here in Georgia, and they're even putting up tents, as I've heard, at our local hospital, which is about 20 miles away from us where we live. And that's a small hospital. So even now, many of even your smaller hospitals are beginning to take this seriously and what's going on. And I heard it also in New York City, which we're talking about the epicenter there. I saw a video of a doctor who is mystified by this particular virus. And he said that it was hitting the particular patients that he's seen, that the ventilators, even though they're necessary and that's the only thing that they know to do, they don't seem to be giving them the oxygen that they need. And they said there's something about what's happening in the hemoglobin where it's affecting the hemoglobin to receive necessary oxygen to get oxygenated. And they're saying that he was just like, wow, I don't know what to do here. This is what I'm seeing. And so the Father, even you get all these different reports, the Father knows the situation. He's not clueless. He knows what's going on. And maybe this Passover, that's where we can get more fully into this Passover 2020. Is this the time that we're going to be in this place where we're actually going to see a plague not come near our door? And it's kind of interesting that the president just recently even called it a plague, used a biblical term, a plague. Let me read a particular verse which can bring things home to people. And this is in Isaiah 26, verse 20. And I would recommend even reading all of that chapter itself, but we'll just focus on this verse. And it says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past." Now, isn't that really what even the first Passover was all about? And Pesach in Hebrew, as we said, means protection. And so we're going to hide ourselves for just a moment, and we're going to be in that place of observing Pesach, knowing that He's our protection, and praying, "Father, let this just be for a little while, and just pass this plague from us." And I pray that this is going to be a resource tool for people, and they'll say, "Yeah, okay, I've been scrambling. I didn't know what to do because I've been with large groups of people doing this. And wow, you guys kind of came to the rescue. I kind of figure out now, oh, this is not so complicated. I can do this, and I need to do this because of the circumstances we're in," right?
Agreed. So I believe that, you know, verses like Isaiah 26:20, it stands out now, and it reminds me of a lot of other verses that are now being circulated. Didn't have much significance, you know, prior to all this, but now they do. You know, another one is the Second Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14 is what you hear the soundbite: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves." But verse 13 happens to be something we are living out. "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people," then it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." You know, we can go on and keep reading in context. I think it's important to keep things in context, but we see that there was no rain. We see that Australia was hit with terrible wildfires earlier this year. No rain. We see Africa being torn up by locusts. And then we have the pestilence among my people, which is all of us. If we humble ourselves, and we know that's a direct reference to repentance. That is a direct reference to looking at what is it going to take for us. Because you can't have any kind of Passover without repentance. You can't leave Egypt without there being some kind of transformational experience. And so looking at what needs to be given to a nation, to a people, is to humble yourself, to pray, to seek His face, turn from the wicked ways. That's four things right there. And I'm curious if those four things are going to be implemented during this Passover season. And how can we break free from the generational curses? What happens that we've got to eat a little bit of humble pie right now, but will we truly humble ourselves? Just because we've been humbled in some ways, but will we truly humble ourselves? Because it's a temptation to get into bitterness right now. It's a temptation to get angry and to say, "Well, I can't have my gym open when I want. I can't have my favorite restaurant just serve me my favorite meal when I want." So if we humble ourselves, we pray, we seek His face, then we turn from our wicked ways. I think there's an opportunity here for this Passover for there to be a reset, for it to go, "All right, let my people go. speak to that Pharaoh that's still manifesting in our lives. Speak to the Pharisee and that Roman imperial and self-ambition and greed that is still having dominion over us. Maybe this is the Passover where people really do break free from that generational curse. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think what you're saying reminded me that I think even that this could be a real litmus test because of the pressure that's being created on relationships. Like you were saying, all those different buffers that were involved with your relationships in your home life, for instance, are now removed. And so now what's going to happen is, if you're married, what's going on? Are you squabbling constantly now? Because all those buffers, all you used to go out and get your exercise and go to the gym and expel some energy or whatever like that, or you were into your sports was your idol, and you could get away from that and just kind of check out from that relationship that was there with your wife. And now it's like you're in this kind of quarantine situation, shelter in place together. And now things are manifesting and coming to the surface. And some are even questioning, do I even need to be married anymore now? And if you're at that place, just don't go there. Think about where you are at right now. Is that the Father is just actually beginning to show you what's in you, and he's going to, and this is the opportunity to remove it. That's what we're talking about, repentance, opportunity to remove, renounce and remove.
And what you're sharing is real. It's relevant. It's what is right in front of us right now. So there's another opportunity here, just to be real candid with you and the audience. If you're in a place of strife, and that bitterness is so intense at home or intense in your own life, but you're still wanting to go through the motions and have a Passover meal, I'd say don't even bother with the meal. Don't even bother with the ritual, with the prayers. Get your heart right. Get your heart in a place where you really can receive. Because doesn't it say, if you're doing this in remembrance of me, don't you need to get your heart right before you partake of it?
Yes, and now we got to look at that verse too, that talks about, and some have interpreted that as being communion, but we know that that's really referring to Passover, and that's in Corinthians, correct?
Right, Corinthians 5. In verse 6, your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you were truly unleavened. For indeed Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Mm-hmm. So, wow, here it is. We have now in the New Testament, what people call the New Testament, and it's actually talking about in this particular passage here, that literally Passover is something that we're supposed to be keeping. It's let's keep this feast, but it's actually talking about how are we going to keep it. And like you were saying, if you have that strife and contention, and it says if you take this in an unworthy manner, you could actually bring judgment upon yourselves. And as the Apostle Paul said, some even sleep because of this. And so this whole idea of taking Passover, don't do it lightly. Take it in such a way that this is an opportunity to purge the old leaven out of your life, to realize that he was sacrificed for us in order to bring that power of his Spirit inside of us to actually be able to face all these different unclean spirits in our lives that manifest, so that we can actually move beyond the leaven of malice, wickedness, and eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Wow. That if you approach this Passover that way, you're going to experience a deliverance, I think. No, let's remove the word, I think. I know.
Amen. And so the further reference about examining yourself comes in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27 or so. Verse 27, therefore, yes, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so that let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Really, the point is that we have to look at is how serious this is. And if you take this back to the Israelites in Egypt, the instructions were specific. It wasn't, I'm going to take a lamb and throw it on the grill and not roast it on fire. There were some specific things in Exodus 12 that says, roast it on fire, don't leave any leftovers. You know, if people don't have enough, let people gather together and have it. You know, so you see all, there are specific things. Yeshua was very specific with them. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. All these specific instructions to get to a place of deliverance. Is this not, and let's tie this back into what we're talking on, the respiratory issues with COVID-19. So the question becomes, and maybe this is kind of a big question here, is this not paving the way for us to truly be filled with his ruach, his spirit, his wind, his breath? Because what's happening with this plague, this virus, it's attacking what? The ruach, the spirit, the wind or breath inside of us. We need to be spirit-filled. Well, we think spirit as something that we can't see, but what happens when we actually feel wind? We can't see it, but we can feel it. We can feel its effects.
Yes.
But we're talking about the same word. Even now, when you're referring to wind in modern Israel, it's ruach. We know spiritually we call the Holy Spirit Ruach HaKodesh, which is the set-apart spirit, Holy Spirit. But is it Passover supposed to set us up for then 7 weeks later to receive, just like in Acts chapter 2, just like in Exodus when they received the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, rather, and Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Spirit? Think about this a little bit and encourage those to say, are you going to keep this Passover? And what's the purpose behind it? To have a meal? What's the intention here? And can this possibly be some sort of a removal of the leaven? And should we be fasting more than just leaven during this time? Isn't this a time to maybe take it up a notch and say, yeah, we need to stop overindulging, and maybe there's a lot of self-pity that's run rampant. Maybe we just need to stop pitying ourselves during this time and kick it into high gear spiritually so that we can prepare to receive the wind, the mighty rushing wind, and be filled with him again. And maybe there's a lot of relationships, talking about relationships, maybe there are some relationships that have grown stale among brethren, among husbands and wives. Is that not a picture of our relationship to Abba, to our Heavenly Father? Are those not a reflection on how perhaps our relationship to him has grown stale, has been affected by some of this? Because I know in my personal walk, I'm seeking this. This is why I'm speaking it. I'm in a time of praying and fasting and looking and preparing myself. But even then, going through the motions, doesn't matter, even if you pray and fast every day, is something the root of all this? Are we really preparing ourselves to be filled and refilled with his spirit?
And it's interesting how you're mentioning about, we're talking about these spring feasts and going through the unleavened bread. And then we're counting the weeks to get to Shavuot, you know, which is the Feast of Weeks, the time when the Holy Spirit was given in the book of Acts, the time when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. So what I'm looking at, what we're focusing on the Spirit here, and we're talking about this whole idea of Ruach, like you were mentioning, and wow, that is an interesting thing, is that as we maybe seek him, starting with Pesach, maybe he will give us that fuller measure of his Ruach by the time we get to Shavuot. Wow, that breath of him is established in our lives, and maybe that is something to be said for, based upon this hidden enemy that's out there right now. Yes.
And the promise that in Acts chapter 2, what Shimon Kepha, what Peter quoted, was in Joel, was it not? Is that shall come to pass that I will pour out my ruach, my breath, my wind, my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Is he doing that now?
Yes.
The plot of the enemy is to strike. This is the counterstrike. It has to be, you're going to weaken the immune systems and the respiratory systems of the people through a virus that the enemy is using disadvantage, right? Yeah. But the counterstrike is he's going to start seeing, and I'm hearing reports, I'm seeing online, and you know, I think there's lots of, you know, jokes and things that, you know, everyone's turned into a televangelist now because we're all at home and we're, you know, sharing things. Hey, it's great. We'll take it. People who hadn't been vocal before about their faith are now being vocal. What are the chances that men who took the back seat and outsourced the leadership to somebody else now is taking ownership and now leading their family? Let's, as those come up, is that now part of this pouring out that is, it's taken a global pandemic to get us to a place where we say, all right, enough's enough. And that even if you wanted to go into a building, nothing against going into a building and worshiping, but it's not an option right now for many people.
Yeah.
What do you do now? Is not a Torah lifestyle something that should run constant? That, I mean, I love corporate worship. I love attending places of worship. It's inspiring. It's great to connect with people. And for the last 17 years, and I know for you as well, it's been many years of living a Torah lifestyle, that whether I go out or not, it stays the same thing. We're studying at home. We have something home-based. We've got ownership, taking ownership of what the Almighty's given us as leaders, as men, you know, those who are husbands, who are heads of household. And that doesn't change. And now, as the landscape has changed, and now we see that if the Spirit is being poured out, his wind is being poured out, that the very essence of us being in this valley of dry bones with the dust, we're being reformed and restored, then the Almighty will come back and breathe what he did breathe into Adam, which is in Hebrew, the Neshmat Chaim, is the breath of life. And that is what I believe needs to happen in this very moment. So as people are listening to this and feel the disconnect from that, now is a time to really get dialed in and say, is something he's saying right now through his breath, through his wind, and are we sensitive enough to hear it? And are we sensitive enough to really go through those four things that Second Chronicles mentions and really take it seriously? Who really wants to humble themselves? Who really wants to pray? Who really wants to seek his face? And who really wants to go through this process, right?
Yeah, and now with all this time on your hands, don't decide that what I'm going to do is I'm going to delve myself all in just into social media. I mean, and here I'm saying this, Beyond the Mountain does have a presence on social media, but don't go to that social media where that becomes a substitute for your relationship with him. Seek him while he can be found. He's knocking. Keep knocking, keep asking, and keep seeking his face. Spend more time in prayer with them. Spend more time in the scriptures with them. Do that more often than not, having that relationship time with him. And you'll find out that it's your relationship with your family around you will improve when you do that even. But don't allow the enemy to pull you in to doing, substituting social media. Those aren't relationships out there. I mean, there's people that can say like, well, one time I was working as a caseworker, and the young man was telling me all about his friend and everything. And I started asking him about his friend, and then they said, this is my first experience because I was never on social media at all. And then he explained Facebook and all this kind of thing. I thought, what? And I said, have you seen this person face to face? Do you really know them? No, but they're my friend. You know, don't allow the electronic age to change your paradigm. Stay within his point of view of what he says a friend is. You know, he says a friend sticks closer than a brother, and that's Yeshua being your friend. And if you have other people that have that connection with Yeshua, okay, and you know them, you've had that personal face-to-face relationship with them, hey, you can get on, do a Zoom call, pick up the phone, talk to them, and don't send texts back and forth, because guess what? If something is being shown to you in the Word, and you're getting like, wow, you saw a revelation, get on over the phone and talk to somebody, because they're going to pick up on your excitement, and they're going to see that through your voice. Or if you can get on through a video, they can see your face lit up. They'll need that encouragement. But you know, social media just to me it creates that disconnect in relationships, and has been getting in the way a lot these days. And I just want to encourage you folks, you know, use it more as a utilitarian thing, but don't use it as a substitute for your relationship with him and with brothers and sisters that you know personally.
Yeah, it's great advice. And there's also a lot of toxic things, a lot of cynicism right now about this, not to mention lots of conspiracy theories. Where did it come from, and how is it happening? And, you know, there's lots of accusation that comes along with conspiracy theories about, you know, everything from, you name it. I mean, it's world powers and all these different things that are really beyond this, high and lofty things. These are things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of our Heavenly Father. They just seem to distract us. It's a smokescreen, right? But we see, if you just go down to the simplicity, if this COVID-19 thing really did come from unclean animals, bats or whatever it was, isn't it much better to go back to the simplicity of what the Torah says? Just if it's unclean, don't eat it. It's not food, right? Is it an opportunity for us to get cynical about it, or to start online debates about scripture and things? So yeah, for sure, social media is not a place at this time, and it really hasn't been. To be in a place where it's going to humble us, because it doesn't. It gives people a voice, yeah. And it allows people to magnify a voice otherwise they wouldn't have otherwise had. You don't have to work for anything. And it's taking up certain space that we could be spending in prayer and worship and fasting. Yes. So how important to you, I'll just ask you, how important is it for you to be in worship right now? And what kind of worship are you gravitating towards?
Oh my, I mean, I heard somebody, it was a pastor, and he was sharing about how just the human body. And during one of our seminars, I explained that we're the neurological system, how it's set up. And it's a electrochemical system. We're electrical kind of beings, And there is a frequency that it exists. And this is not anything new age or anything. It's just a fact of biology and how our anatomy is made. And so, you know, get into that frequency of praise for him, to him, you know, if, you know, maybe he's going to give you a song. It says that some will have a psalm, a hymn, and a spiritual song when you get together. Well, you're going to get together with him now, or whoever you have within your shelter in place, and just allow that just to flow out from the Spirit, and he can give you a song, or a hymn, or a spiritual song. I mean, and that's what I've noticed thing that he's been doing with me, you know, or he'll just bring to mind a song that's I've known for years. And all of a sudden, based upon what's going on right now, it now has very special meaning. I was thinking of, you know, Passover's coming up. Twyla Paris, an old Twyla Paris song, The Lamb of God. And, you know, if you think about that song a little bit and look at the lyrics of that song, it's just some very precious lyrics about how precious our relationship is. And how grateful we are that we have a Lamb of God, a Lamb of Elohim, who bled and died for us so that we can be free of the curse.
That's wonderful. And I myself, you know, as a songwriter, and you know, I actively worship and I lead worship here at home and things, and I find myself just sitting still and really meditating on scripture like never before. I think that so many of us, and I'm guilty of it, of just going and being nonstop and having a different approach and being still and knowing that he is, and that all the things that we could possibly plan for, I've gone back to the drawing board. I released a YouTube release a few months ago out of that place. And I'm going through, and as I'm going and preparing it for online stores, it's been a little bit of a delay because of the this COVID-19 things. But as I'm going back and remixing things and just kind of hearing back from that experience of recording last year, and I'm looking in and truly being grateful for what was given then, because it's nothing that I could have at all predicted to be in this spot now, feeling like one of the lyrics on Out of That Place, a song, the title track, talks about living in a desolate land of scarcity. And right now, there's a lot of people living in that type of a land in their mind. It's scarce, and it's bringing them to a place where they feel oppressed. And you see that self-righteousness manifests. You see that self-bitterness starts manifesting. You see that self-pity starts manifesting. And these are all warning signs of living in a land of scarcity, you know, a desolate land and a land that's thirsty. It's a parched place. And I see that I'm surrounded by that in different ways. And there's no other way to really go about this than to seek his kingdom, seek his face, seek first his kingdom. And I'm meditating on that, singing songs based on that, seeking first his kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Ruach, more importantly, in his Spirit, to be Spirit-led. It's really difficult to be Spirit-led when we are dwelling in fear. It's really difficult to be Spirit-led when we are consumed with anxiety. Because as you know, the fight or flight response is going to get us to a place where we're going to react in the flesh 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. And so now it's a time where worship takes on different forms. Yes. It's not just now you can't get in the same room and do corporate worship like we used to, right? We've used it as a crutch. Maybe those who are used to having a worship team lead and direct, okay, well, yeah, you have to do it online, which is different. So now this is possibly an opportunity for people who have never really attempted to worship on their own. This is maybe it. This is where you dust off that guitar that you haven't played in 10 years, right? Maybe this is the time where you get a little keyboard that you haven't used and it's sitting in a garage, and you just allow for him to flow through you. It's just amazing what can happen when we yield And so I just encourage everyone right now who's listening to allow that worship, that praise and that worship to develop, no matter if someone doesn't feel like they have musical talent. I wasn't trained in anything musically. I didn't even pick up a guitar until I was 22. And I didn't even really start writing music until I was 27. So it was only 14 years ago that I'm now, you know, of course I've got some music released, but even then I'm still learning. I'm still in a process. And this worship is not about creating art. It's not about recording albums and things. For me, it's just about the connection. It's about being sensitive to what's already streaming in the heavens. Where, you know, people talk about listening to music being streamed online, and there's, you know, or like a radio that's throwing out, talking about frequencies, you know, radio frequencies broadcasting music. Well, there is already something broadcast from heaven that we see, that the angels circling the throne are day and night circling. Are they not saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? They're saying holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Almighty, Jehovah Tzavaot. Yes. Tap into that. And if you were able to hear from heaven, just like it talks about, going back to Second Chronicles 7, that he will hear from heaven, well, we will also hear him from heaven. He's broadcasting something right now in this moment that someone needs to hear. And we wouldn't have otherwise had this if we didn't have this shelter and grace. I love that. Shelter and grace to see really that his grace is sufficient for us.
So you're sheltering in grace, and you know that Passover is coming. And you know that now spiritually you're prepared to face this. You're ready to walk in repentance when you celebrate Passover. So how do you do this? Because you've been a person that have been to the corporate gatherings of doing a Passover celebration, and so you don't know how to do it. Well, we're going to break it down. Let's be real simple here. Okay, Exodus chapter 12. You need to read the story. That's the first thing you do. There are elements that you can have. You can have unleavened bread. You have bitter herbs. And I kind of like to have lamb. It's only symbolic. It's not like we're going to go slaughter a lamb and put blood on the doorpost again. You know, that's done. Yeshua did that for us. He was the final Passover lamb for us. So, and then you can actually, I like the whole idea of the, that, you know, that this is on a traditional scale, but it's the apple mixture. Chopped apples with some walnuts and juice, grape juice in there and everything. And so it's kind of nice. They call it haroset in Hebrew. And it's represents the slavery, you know, trying to put these bricks together with the straw. And pretty soon the straw was taken away and trying to put it together with just mud. And it reflects the story of the slavery along with the bitter herbs. And so, you know, those little elements, reading the story, Exodus 12, and then maybe finding some songs that personally touch you in a certain way that are related to the Passover story. You know, meditate on those, what you could put in there. And then go to the journey of the Passover lamb, Yeshua, and start reading those verses in there that lead all the way up to when he was crucified. And then and reading about how he brought the cup forth to the disciples and said, do this in remembrance of me, and do that part, and drink the cup of grape juice there. And so there it is. It's that simple. You just did it. It's all right in the scripture, right in the word. You can celebrate the Passover right there with those elements. And you can take you can just have a Bible with you. Your Bible right there. And those elements, and you can come up with a way to do Passover, and let the Spirit lead you. He'll lead you along the way. I'm going to put together a little PDF of a very simple type of a Passover arrangement, and maybe we'll even post it on Beyond the Mountain for as a resource. But you know, be led by Him, and let Him lead you along the way in it as well.
That's great. I love it. So Passover, in summary, is about Jehovah coming and protecting us, and you know that the angel of death will pass over, and we wouldn't be affected, right? It's a time of personal redemption. It's a time of forgiveness, and so we see that what Yeshua did on the execution stake. What Yeshua did on the execution stake, being our Passover, gives us and paves the way for us to have our personal redemption, salvation. And now we're walking out redemption. And now we see that when we are encouraging others to walk in redemption, what does it look like? Where is the path leading towards? Do we have the temptation during the Feast of Unleavened Bread that follows to continue with the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of malice, whatever it is? Or are we going to seek to get the leaven out of our lives, the pride of life and self-righteousness that produces arrogance? And for the 7 weeks that follow, really prepare our hearts to receive another experience with his wind, with his spirit. And I believe that this is the season now to really have a beginning of months. This is a new start for many people, even those who have been keeping Torah for so long. Even if you've been keeping Torah for so long, even if you've been keeping the feasts or if you've studied about them, this may be that moment where you go, wow, I never saw it like this.
Wow. Well, with that, I think that really wraps it up. What we have talked about, we pray it will be a blessing to you. And just keep looking for us as we're sheltering in grace. I'm sure more podcasts will be coming your way soon. So have a blessed Passover, everyone. Shalom, shalom, signing off. Sefania and Shlomo.
Hey, shalom, shalom. Happy Chag Sameach. Happy Passover.
Join us next time as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers and the principalities of the air, going beyond the mountain.